Hello and welcome to the Practical Pisces podcast. I'm Chelsea, your favorite psychic medium, your host and your mentor through the world of spirituality and all things woo. I'm here to share my stories and what I've learned along my path and my experiences. My mission here is to help more people open themselves up to their own intuition and their connection with spirit. And with that, let's open the door to intuition and spirit. Hello and welcome back to the Practical Pisces podcast. This particular episode is a continuation of last episode, episode 9 with Rebecca Wolf. I have her back for this episode. I highly recommend, if you're listening to just this one specifically, to go back and give the last episode a listen. I feel like there's a lot about guides coming up right now, expanding love with our guides. I also feel in this new chapter, our guides are rotating. We go through different phases in life, and who we talk to the most shifts. Who we connect with the most will shift. And some people will be the focus, and some people will take a step back, or they go and connect with another person in the family. I have a spirit who passed away. My friend, she had a yin-yang tattoo. And I haven't, it's been many years since she passed, and she's been around in the ether a little bit, but we've never sat together, and it felt like her era of support shifted in. I know that you have some lovely spirit guides, your mother being one of them. How do you feel about your guide team right now? I think a lot of my listeners and my audience are people who want to connect with their guides more.
Yeah.
And my students, a lot of my courses connecting with your own loved ones and building that guide team. And girl, I know we both are like, oh, I've got this and this. We could list off 12 guides if we wanted to. Who would you say in this new chapter, new beginning, might be whispering a little bit louder?
I don't know that there's just one. Well, I think they all got a little bit louder. And it's really interesting because I do feel they're shifting. I feel for me, my team's been shifting since 12-12, that portal. It's like it almost like this new... The image I get is they were all sitting in the back seat and 12-12 happened and they're like all jumped in the front seat with me and they're like, okay, it's time to go, here we go. And they're just not quiet, like I can't mute them. There's just like this higher energy in terms of who is actually connecting. And I feel like right now more of the beings coming through are more galactic versus like my loved ones. Of course, they're always... there, and I can always have conversation with them, but I do feel like more of the guides that are like the loud front seaters right now are more galactic lineages that I've been working with. Been really hearing a lot more light language and toning and sounds. That's really been in the forefront of my awareness, and teaching others how like their own unique sound is the most healing vibration and frequency to their own selves, and you know how powerful that can be. So yeah, they're really just using different ways to start to use the tools that we've been given in this temple to facilitate some of that healing.
You have some of the best gong baths I've been to. You use a lot of sound healing. It makes sense. That would be really activating for you right now. And they're talking to you a lot about vibration and resonance. I feel like for your wheelhouse and like the powerful healing that you do, that makes perfect sense. And I think maybe for me, the guides I have been connecting to, which is making me laugh a little bit because there's, again, expectation, go away, because some part of me thought maybe this part of my journey I'd be connecting to higher entity beings or these bigger beings, but actually the souls that I'm connecting with the most right now, or the guides, are what I call shooting star souls, and they're the people who left this world too soon. They came in, they burned so brightly, and then they faded into the stars. It's funny, I had this client come in, and she had a shooting star soul. It was her sibling, and he just keeps circling back to hang out with me or to say something to me. And I've had this happen over the years where these specific shooting star souls, these specific people, they keep revisiting. And I've had two of them. So I think there is a resonance of something about it. Maybe it's the understanding of it. I don't know. But it will be as though those are the people who are getting louder and louder for me or showing up for me. And they're showing me a lot of messages in nature. And they talk about impact. And that's been something I've been asking myself. Where do I feel impactful as a healer? And I wonder for, it always changes, I think. We go through our seasons of what's activating us and what we want to do. Where maybe do you feel really activated as a healer, as a mentor right now? Where do you feel impactful the most right now?
I do feel it is connected to the body, the gift of what our physical body is, because we're not taught about it. It's so elusive. And one of the greatest ways we've been taught, and so many still do, give their power away when something happens to the body, whether it's the mental body, the emotional body, or the physical body. It's almost like it's our first nature to give our power away when something comes into this, because we are disconnected. Most of us are living outside of the physical body. We're only about like 10 to 15% embodied. Like, think about that.
Like, that's so crazy.
That's so little. And to bring and be able to hold a greater aspect of our soul essence in the physical body, we do have to cleanse the temple. We do have to learn about our temple, get intimate with our temple, and understand what it is and not be afraid of it. We don't know what's best for it. Mm-hmm. We don't know how to heal it or love it. Yeah, that piece I feel is so important, is just like learning about your temple. And maybe that's where the Aries comes back, because it's so physical, right? I'm so drawn to teaching people how to honor their humanness. We've been on such a spiritual journey for so long. They go hand in hand. We have to come back and really honor this humanness and not be afraid of the temple we've been given.
We've been taught no ego, just disconnect from it. But we also have it. And I think that, yes, we do need to, in moments of channeling or in moments of holding space or in these different areas, it's important to know how to move your ego out of the way. You have to respect what the ego is here to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I used to say a lot that the ego gets a bad rep, mm-hmm. and it's just because it's misunderstood. The ego and the soul, they want to do the same things for us. Ultimately, they want to protect us and love us. Mm-hmm. They just do it from vastly different directions. The ego, a lot of times, collects all of our experiences as evidence to create fear stories to protect us. Mm-hmm. And the soul is just lean into the unknown. I got you.
And the ego is such our patterning. And it's, again, it's the fear stories so that we can identify patterns to avoid it. And again, like in nature, okay, we know lions walk on that path, and I don't want to get eaten by a lion, so I'm not going to walk over there. What if one day the lion isn't walking on that path, and you can actually get to the well of that water you've been wanting to go towards, and oh, you've been limiting yourself because you've been so afraid of this lion's path, but you only ever saw one paw, or like maybe you got scratched one time.
Yeah.
But that's what the ego is there for, was to help us recognize patterns of something that could be dangerous to help us avoid it. But then our soul is, you didn't come here to avoid things.
Yeah.
You actually came here to feel all the things, scary or good or bad or whatever.
Yeah. In balance, we can work together, the ego and I.
Like, we could be friends.
We both want the same thing for you.
And maybe the ego in some ways provides us tools for discernment. That the part of us that judges, well, judgment isn't necessarily in itself a bad thing. It's when we put permanent judgment on things, I think. It's when we put a permanence to it. But we have to evaluate, judge a situation to see if it's for us or not. There's a reason judgment is in the tarot deck, man. It's important. I think there's also judge and jury, justice, balance. That's part of it. So many of my readings are acknowledgments from the world of spirit of what you've been doing. So often am I, here's what you've been through. You're being acknowledged. Like, you're being witnessed. And I've got chills.
Yeah.
The word witness has been coming up too. There's this old movie video that was circulating. And this lady was like, what is a marriage? What is a relationship? And it was like, this person said, oh, it's an exchange. It's a this. And she was like, no, it's, I'm promising to be witness to your life and care.
Wow. Ooh. That's deep.
That could, every time I say it, makes me want to cry because it's...
Yes. Oh my gosh. That was just like, wow.
We're not asking for perfect. We're not asking for everything to be smooth, but it's when we feel... I'm actually thinking of a client of mine who has cancer, and she's, it's wild because I would have never wanted this to happen to me. And in the same moment, I have been the most loved I have ever been. I've been the most supported I've ever been. And it's shown me who's really going to show up for me right now. And I said to her, will it continue when you're healthy again? Will you continue to ask for support? Will you continue to ask to be loved? Will you be witnessed? Will you be listened to? Did you feel listened to before? Sickness can be a great alchemy. It can be a great, oh my gosh, it's terrible. It sucks because you would never ask for it. But when the body is out of balance, I also feel like sicknesses too can be upgrades. And they can be upgrades for your system, introducing new information and showing us things too. It's like, again, like an eclipse. Sickness can be an expedited lesson, right? But I think for her, it showed her what was possible to experience in love in her relationship. I can be supported this strongly, even when it's not an extreme.
Sometimes when sickness comes in or disharmony or disbalance in the body, in giving that power away, we are surrendering completely, which in other areas of our life, we tend to hold on and never surrender. Mm-hmm. So in those moments of surrender, we have that opportunity to see the capacity. When we let go, it's okay if we fall, because we'll be held. We'll be held in love. We'll be held in support. We're not the only one. We're not alone, mm-hmm. so to speak. And whether that's through realizations with spirit or whatever, because sometimes sickness can put us into spaces where spirit becomes way more fluid, because you have to get out of your own mental space, mm-hmm. and you have very impactful spiritual experiences that are undeniable, whereas you may have had little glimpses of it but denied it a lot, mm-hmm. in other spaces of your life. There's that piece. Sickness challenges us in those moments of what rings true truly and then what doesn't, because our Western system is set up to make money. Mm-hmm. And if you go looking for something, they will find something because it's in their best interest. Mm-hmm. And in that, it's okay. So does that ring true? Is that your truth? You want to own that? Mm-hmm. Or you want to tune into you? What are you being called to? What is this coming up for?
Mm-hmm. We're realizing people, things, or places that we perceive to dislike or to really not enjoy. And we may have, I think about people I've been around, or people who maybe talk a lot of shit or have a lot to say about what someone else is doing with their life, or they have all these opinions on how someone should live their life, whatever. Mm-hmm. I find that I'm often saying, what if it just wasn't for you? What if that thing that you don't like, what if it's not about liking it or not? It's just not for you, and you can just move on. You can just not acknowledge, like, you don't have to acknowledge that. Some people might say, oh, that thing you don't like, it's provoking something within you to heal, or, and I think that's true. I think there's something to that. And also, I think there's just points where you get to say, it could just be that it's not for you. It could just be. And I think those situations can arise too, to challenge us, to test us. I say test with air quotes, because I don't think spirit loves to call things tests, because there isn't necessarily a right answer. Tests may mean there's a right answer, and there really isn't. It's a test just to show you how far you've come, to show you where you're at, to just give you
a reflection.
It's just a reflection, just so you could see, so you can then make some informed decisions, right? It's just a year to help you make some informed decisions. Okay.
Yeah.
But I also want to just even say, you're allowed to just acknowledge on that physical, as somebody who I've literally moved from one part of the country to the next, and I'm looking in the mirror and I don't recognize myself in a very positive way. I'm like, oh, I don't even feel like I look the same. I feel like I'm glowing different. My light's expanding. And it's expanding because it's finally in the right soil to expand. And how much are you running, or are you finally sprinting to the finish line of where you want to be?
Yeah. It'd be interesting to actually see in your astrocartography what line you might be living on.
And I think, I want to say it's my Saturn line.
Your Saturn AC, DC?
Okay, so my line through Tucson is my Saturn descendant line.
Your Saturn descendant line.
Mm-hmm.
So your descendant is relationships. And it's going to be external. So a lot of great teacher lessons from Saturn coming your way, which is interesting too, because as much as it's relationships, it's like healing those aspects, which you've been really feeling since you've landed there. And mm-hmm. you're like, there is a lot coming up around love and relationships. Mm-hmm. And perhaps that's just where, and it's interesting because it was sharing your relationship that went viral.
Oh, that's a good point. Oh, that's a really good point. I reflect on what was my line through Louisville that drew me there. Well, it was my Chiron line. And I had a lot of healer wounds that came up and really went through a lot in my spiritual path that was really big, painful, transmutative, transformative, and really good. And then coming here, I'm seeing that it's funny that then it's like relationships, like that makes sense. It's, I felt like I'm healing a lot around friendship, really healing and feeling a lot of love, really that focus on like living life and caring for the people around me and shifting my priorities. I put a lot of my worth into my work. I think when you own your own business, it's really hard not to, because it can really feel like it's about me. And it, I had to shift my mindset, and I feel like that shifted when I got here. My work is actually about spirit. My work isn't about who I am. It's how I become a vessel for spirit. How can I just let that what it is and stop putting worth and value onto that, because it's not about it, because we all can. And I am just an example of that. And so how can I let my business just be an example of what does life look like when you let spirit flow through every moment?
Yeah.
Because it's good and bad. It's uncomfortable and beautiful. It's a trauma and joy.
It's all the things. It's all the things. Powerful, like calling to go to Marseille, France. And it came through a dream, I want to say back in 2015, 2016-ish. I literally woke up in the middle of the night and was like, I need to go to Marseille. Is it a place? I had no idea it even existed. So in the morning, because I have this little journal by my bedside just in case there's any like random things in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Because that way you don't have, you write it down, you don't have to remember it. Therefore, like you can get the next piece of the puzzle if there's more information that is supposed to come through at that time versus just getting stuck on, oh, I got to remember Marseille for the morning. And then I'm just stuck there. I did look it up and I really felt, okay, so I'll know when I'm meant to go. I'll just know. And so like over the few years that came after that, a lot of Mary Magdalene stuff came in. I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And it turns out that was one of the places, and she has her like cave of eggs there and her place where she like went as her sanctuary. So I started to just to learn about Mary Magdalene a little bit from different perspectives. And then just this past year, I was listening to a podcast and happens to be like they were doing a retreat in Marseille, and it was within the next 8 weeks from the time I heard the podcast to being there in 8 weeks. And I was like, how on earth am I ever going to make this happen? Because as soon as they said the words, I was like, I need to be there. This is my call. I don't know what's going to happen, but I need to get to Marseille. I didn't even have a passport at the time.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And I was like, okay, spirit, if this is it, I need your help. There is some big hurdles here. And everything went seamless. Everything fell into place, and it really tested me in trusting.
So I want to add a little caveat for listeners for a second. So Mary Magdalene, for those of you that don't know that are listening, maybe you've heard whispers of it. Maybe this is coming to you at just the right time. And maybe you've been also hearing that whisper or that yell from the world of spirit. But Mary Magdalene, there has been over the last few years, a lot coming up around her real story, her true story and who she really was. And we've been in a patriarchal world for eons and eons, and we've been healing this divine feminine so that we can all really truly become equal. But when we reflect on the history and where we come from, there's more coming up about Mary Magdalene, about Mother Mary, about Grandmother Anne, and all these stories coming up about these women that are mentioned in the Bible, these women that are from our lineage, about how they were really these powerful healers. A lot of these miracles that we've been taught were coming from women, and these stories really coming from them. So when Rebecca here is talking about her own experience with it and where she's being called, it fascinates me because I also have heard that more of a whisper lately. I've been asking Rebecca so much about like her thoughts and feelings on Mary Magdalene and what shows up for her. And when she talks about her journey to Marseille and she's talking about these different things, I really encourage you to sit with your own curiosity and what you want to know and just to start to do some research. There's beauty in research. It's part of the knowledge gaining and like accessing that wisdom. When you went to Marseille or Marseille, I'm probably saying that wrong, what was activated for you in your healing and what was your experience?
I think I'm still honestly unpacking what was activated.
Yeah, How long ago was that when you went?
It was in June. It was over summer solstice, which was really a fascinating time to be in France, period, just because they celebrate summer solstice with music. Mm. And it was really, I do know that I need to go back. Whatever is there, I'm not done. The way Spirit had it all work out, it was a very short turnaround trip. The retreat itself was only a couple days, and then we only took 3 extra days on top of that. So we were only there 5.5-6 days total, and that's including our travel time. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of time for me to go and do the extra stuff. I know I need to go to that Cave of Eggs. I know I need to sit in that space. I know I need to go to this other place on the coast where apparently her and Mother Mary landed, and they have these very special horses. I've always been called to horses. Mm-hmm. Horses are a big thing for me, and I was actually born in the year of the horse. So I'm deeply attracted to horse energy, and they have these really special indigenous horses to the region that are mainly white and have this light brown color to them. Mm-hmm. And every time I look at them, I see unicorns. They're just unicorn horses. They have wings. They're just amazing.
I wonder, though, when we hear about unicorns, was it that they actually had horns or that they just had a very powerful third eye? And that's my curiosity. Yeah. But horses have been coming up a lot for me, too, which I rode horses a little bit when I was a kid. It never felt like this big thing until I worked at this plant nursery in Carpinteria. Seaside Gardens, if anybody wants to go. It's a very beautiful plant nursery. They also have horses nearby, but I would go to the horses and they loved me. And I felt so like I was in such a, I want to say a state of reverence of, hi, I'm not trying to step on your toes or anything. I'm literally just here to pick up shit. That's why I was there, was to clean up shit, was why. And I would do it. I think I was going and doing that like a few times a week was when I was doing that. And they just messed with me. They would nibble at my shirt and tug on me and boot me with their nose and rub up against me. And I was always, I don't know if it was nervous or reverence or trying to be respectful, and they were so playful. But it's interesting how I ended up in Kentucky, which is this place of being known for the Kentucky Derby and horses, and like being shifted there to then coming to Arizona, which is also known for having horses, but also wild horses.
Wild horses.
Mm-hmm. Wild horses.
Horses are fascinating because their energy field, they're so sensitive to 9 feet out.
Mm-hmm.
So within 9 feet of a resonance field around them, they have an attuned sensory system to your energy, mm-hmm. and to your heartbeat specifically. And it's just, they are healing animals. They're healers, mm-hmm. like through and through, they're healers. And it's just, I don't know, I look at them like great big dogs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just love them so much. So I do know, like, I need to get back to Marseille. I'm not done there. And I'm not really sure that I have a full understanding of what all got activated there. But I do know I came back with a lot more clarity. Mm-hmm. Leading up to the retreat, I was really feeling at the beginning of last year, there was just so much fuzziness everywhere. I was very unclear in a lot of things. And after the retreat, I did feel like a heightened state of clarity, and I got my groove back in a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really beautiful. And I'm also really drawn to the Mediterranean. So I feel like there's mm-hmm. more around the Mediterranean. I have a lot of lines that go through the Mediterranean.
I could totally see you on a beach in Greece. I could totally see you hosting a retreat in Greece or just going. And it's funny, as you're talking about that retreat, why are retreats so powerful? Like, why are retreats coming up so much for people? Why do we feel so called as teachers, healers, mentors to hold that space? But retreats are locational community healing. We're bringing people to location to do some work. And why is astrocartography so powerful? I know that you could give a badass astrocartography reading. Just, we know it. But it's also, we're connecting to Earth. We're connecting to our body. We're connecting to the body of Earth. And there are certain things that make certain places super powerful. When I met with my new friend, Rose, she talked to me about how the land of Tucson, where I'm living, it is like a portal that pulls people in but it pulls you through the thorns first. If you can let yourself be tore up by the thorns, by the nature, if you can get past the thorny exterior, you'll come to the center that's this ooey gooey, nourishing, lovely, magical center that is of every cactus, succulent, and all these different things. It's like inside them all are these vessels for water, but on the outside, they're thorny and protective of their energy. And it was funny, when I had moved here, my partner and I became obsessed with cleaning the yard. It's like when we got here, someone had, one of the neighbors had told me, like, oh, nobody's touched landscaping at that house as long as I've been here. And I've been here really for 30 years and no one's really touched it. And it just sparked this, coming back to my plant nerd self, it sparked this in me of, I have to start here by tending the land. I have to start here by cleaning up. Maybe it's not my mess. Maybe it's not my mistake, but I am now the steward of this land I'm on. We spent hours sifting through, cleaning out old leaves, trimming bushes, just going crazy. We really probably overexerted ourselves too. And there was something about it that was, it was a lot. And we just moved across the country. It was still fragile, but we're feeling this call to tend to the land. But when I talked to this local, she was like, hey, that's part of it. That's part of the initiation of Arizona. Everybody loves to garden here, hike, get out in nature. It's just the mentality of people here. And whereas California, when I was in Ventura, the thing was to connect to the ocean and the beach. And that's what I felt called to, really spend your time looking at the ocean. But in Northern California, it was really connecting to the pine trees and going on long drives down windy roads through the redwood. So we see astrocartography, we see the body, and maybe where you are isn't in alignment for you. And how is that showing up in your body? When I first moved to Kentucky, I ballooned. I felt like I was so inflamed and swollen and all this coming up and all this release that had happened upon getting ready to leave. I just want to honor people wanting to take a leap of faith and move. You might need to.
You might need to, yeah.
Because I think so often we are living in places where we're with family or where we're with the only community we've known. And that community may be resistant to you leaving because of their attachment and expectation of you. Yet you keep having this call to take leaps and bounds and jumps into something new.
Yeah.
That's the Fool card right there for you. Are you going to jump off the cliff? And maybe you go exactly where you've been needing to be. And maybe it's easy once you get there. Rebecca, maybe it's easy once you get to Marseille. Maybe it's easy when you get to the Mediterranean or Mexico.
Yeah.
Not that I'm trying to like gas you up to move, because I think you've got a very loving community that would just be devastated. But there's something to that, I think.
There really is. And it's interesting because you don't really need to have an astrocartography chart to say, like, where you go. Like, where are you attracted to?
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee if we were to pull your chart afterwards, there would be some connection to it in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
You already energetically know. Where do you see in the world? And you're like, I want to go there.
Mm-hmm. So once upon a time, all through high school, I was like obsessed with Ireland and Lord of the Rings. I was obsessed with those places, that energy of that. And it was the misty mountains and the cold and the moors and the, all the things and the castles and the regalness. And I was always called to that. If I look on my astral cartography right now, which I've got my chart in front of me, I have my moon line through Ireland.
Wow.
And at 16, did I know anything about astrology? Absolutely not. Did I have any concept that there were places in the world that you were just supposed to go to because of the upgrade that it may bring you?
Yeah.
I also wonder too, are there like some people who only have lines through like where they're from and they're just meant to stay? There's some people I know who are just cozy where they are, where they were born and where they landed is where they are. Like that, the woman I met the other day, she's like, I'm third generation and I'm rooted in my lineage. Ooh, that's powerful too.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be interesting to pull someone's chart like that just to see. I'm sure a lot of, there'd be places in the world she'd be attracted to visit, but her home or her roots always would bring her back to Arizona or wherever that is.
Okay, our ancestors. When did your ancestors become the pilgrimage that led to where the line was meant to continue on? Because where you're born does have to do with how your stars are. What if the lineage and the generations coming next needed to be born in that place? And that's also why you're called.
Exactly.
And maybe, and this is maybe taking it to another level, I've got a couple people who are clients that are dealing with infertility, and there's a whole conversation we can unpack with that. We could really dive into that. And I know you and I have a lot of opinions about another day, but part of me too wonders, what if you struggled with it because you were meant to have that baby in a different place? Or how many people were like, I went on vacation and I was pregnant. I went into labor in another country or another state or another this. I know somebody who is, I unintentionally had my baby in Europe. I was going for a family visit to visit so-and-so, and that's where my baby was born. Now I have a dual citizen baby, completely unplanned. How much that may even play a role.
Yeah. I have a teacher that, because a lot of the new kids coming in, they're very high vibrational. Mm-hmm. And just depending on how attuned you are to their energy, a lot of them can be like avatar children. They're coming in full awareness of all their power. Mm-hmm. And in that, in tune with it, this particular person I'm thinking of is very in tune with it. And both of her kids demanded to be born in very specific places. And the hoops that she had to go through to be able to be pregnant and stay in those spaces long enough for her kids to be born in those places, which both children were different mm-hmm. places. And I feel like sometimes it has to do with the ley lines, mm-hmm. Earth, and those different activations, and maybe what they're connected to with the energy of those particular ley lines or those areas that they want to come into.
For anyone who doesn't know, ley lines are these powerful lines on our planet that are big conductors of energy. And you'll see them really show up in places that have, they're really connected to the waterways under our planet and some of those crystalline energies underneath the surface. So example, for those of you listening from Kentucky, Kentucky has ley lines itself. And underneath Kentucky is all that limestone. And limestone's a big conductor, and that's where the waters flow through. So there is a lot of spiritual energy through that area. And so we'll see, dear, California has some really powerful, every place you go has these powerful ones, but it's all based on these like crystalline waterway energies, these conductors of energy. Yes.
Yeah. And they carry so much light. It's like liquid light.
There was something I heard recently that said you can identify a ley line based on how many groupings of plants are side by side next to each other.
Oh, interesting.
So typically these plants may come in threes on a ley line, and they support each other with their root system to stay in place, and that root system goes into those waterways and into those ley lines. So in theory, if you were looking for a good grounding practice, look for trees in groups of threes to ground into the crystalline earth energy.
That's so fascinating, because you could sit in the center of the three.
Mm-hmm. Potentially. They showed it, I saw a video of it was in Arizona. It would be like a saguaro, a Palo Verde tree, and another smaller barrel cactus or something. And they'd be in these groupings, all kind of in this like same region.
We could talk forever.
And I wanted to just pull a couple cards. During all this shifting of energy, take it slow. Our systems may need to slow down with it, because I'm seeing also this health card. It can, if you don't take care of yourself, it can put you in a hospital bed, really. If you don't listen to your energy, and especially if you're processing big emotional revelations, your body may need space to rest through those revelations, even if they feel activating. You can also move your body. Maybe this is a time for some yin. Maybe this is time to lean into that yin energy of softness in the body while there's so much yang being activated in your heart right now. The other thing I'm seeing is, if it is meant to be, it will be. If you are meant to cross somebody's path, you will. Mm-hmm. The cards literally came out 1-1 and then 2 in the 2 of Cups. And it's so romance energy. It's like the Ace of Cups energy. It's really powerful about saying, showing you, look how your cup can be filled. Look how you can be loved right now. Look at the community, the lineage, the support, the anchoring that you're building where you are. Your cup can be filled in partnership and also in relationship and friendship, and that just as deep as that dark was that we've all been through is just as bright as it will shine. You were talking about when you have that little like kinetic ball that you can push in really tight, you can also pull it apart and it's going to go both ways. So all this suffering you've been through, imagine the flip of that. Imagine how light it can be on the other side of it. We're being reminded it can be good too. We put you through so, I want to say, like, they put us through, man, even COVID too. It's, we've been through a collective suffering for four or five years now.
Yeah.
And things are about to change. And we've been told about it and told about it and told about it. And everybody's like, when? And everybody's starting to feel and be witness to changes actually happening. And happening for the good.
Yeah. I think the thing that's, like, most in the forefront is, like, remembering that you are light. A lot of throat chakra clearing. Speaking your truth. Mm-hmm. Even through whatever healing you're going through, whatever shadow or darkness you might be exploring or finding yourself in, you are light. Allow yourself the time and the patience and the compassion to allow your eyes to adjust to whatever darkness that is. You can see in the dark because you are light. Period. We're light. The other thing that comes up is that community. You're not alone. Like, really lean into that connection with others. Nourish your relationships, whether they're friendships or partnerships, but nourish those aspects. Lean on your community, gather in celebration, gather in support, and allow the winds of change to bring in that magic. Allow yourself to ride the waves of whatever that change is, because there's so much knowledge and wisdom that's coming in, and it is all, it's going to sweep away and blow away all that's in the past. Mm-hmm. We can look forward now.
Rebecca, it's been so exciting to have you here. I wanted to ask you, is there anything that you're working on right now or excited about that you'd like to share with this community?
Thank you so much, Chelsea. I have so much fun connecting with you always. This has been just such a pleasure to chat with you and create this podcast. We definitely covered a lot. I am actually doing something new. Since part one, Spirit has dropped in that I needed to see people in person again. I've come up with a modality called quantum body work. And it's just a mix and a blend of all my tools, all my gifts, and it's just bringing them all together in these beautifully short little 45-minute sessions. I'm seeing people at the communal healing office at Grassroots Yoga. Quantum bodywork is a revolutionary approach to holistic healing, and it blends ancient wisdom with the quantum principles. I use gentle touch, breath work, intention setting, and it all helps facilitate profound transformation at the quantum level, addressing deep-seated and ancestral traumas, outdated contracts, limiting beliefs, habitual patterns. I've had a really great response to it. We connect in with your spirit council. People have had really amazing, profound messages come through, and it's just been really nice to be in person again. I didn't realize how much I actually missed it. That's been a really beautiful addition to my offerings. I do still have all of my offerings on Zoom as I did before. Thank you again, Chelsea.
Rebecca, it was so awesome to have you on the episodes recently and to connect with you again. You're one of my favorite teachers and mentors, and you are so knowledgeable, and I really appreciate you for taking the time. I do want to discuss some offerings that I have coming up. I am now opening up one-on-one mentorship under the blanket of opening the door to intuition and spirit. I know spirit has really been asking me to connect with you all very intimately in this 8-week in-depth process, because so many of you are tuned in, tapped in, and ready to go, and yet you're just wanting a clearer connection. This one-on-one mentorship is really directed towards those of you who feel that you are a light worker, healer, or a soul of service, and that you're really wanting to feel more solidified in your channel, having someone who can see where you can grow. These programs are two different options. One is a spirit guide devotional. It comes with a very direct, intentional 8-week syllabus where we cover your clairs, meditation, mediumship. You get a lot of personalized guidance from your spirit guide team over a series of 8 weeks, so you can really dive in and get clear. The other program is called the Pearl Experience. For those of you that feel you have been gently coming out of your shell and wanting something that's very specific and customized to you. There will be a few weeks that are dedicated towards learning your different clairs, your different spiritual senses, while also discussing your journey where opportunities are opening up for you. It is going to be a very intentional 8 weeks for you. And that can look like a few weeks of tarot training. That could look like adding in a few weeks of mediumship training. Could be a couple weeks of Reiki healing. Really, whatever it is that you feel you're ready to expand in can be woven into the Pearl experience. I am really excited to bring these forward and see who is called to this right now. I've actually already filled 3 of the 9 slots that I'll have available. I only have 6 spaces left for June and July. You can set the date and have your custom timing in which day of the week works for you. We'll go back and forth and find the right timing and the divine timing for you. And I look forward to hearing from you all very soon. And I look so forward to connecting with each and every one of you. Thank you for opening the door with me today.